Hey there, listeners. Before I start today's show, I just wanted to thank everyone who came to my concert on Tuesday, where I played the Goldberg Variations, a couple more of which you'll be learning about today. I'll be talking about in today's episode. I was lucky enough to have the performance written up in the Washington Post, no relation, rather glowingly, which is great. You know, it's always great as an artist to have some external authoritative validation of my playing. Now, I wonder if I can get some authoritative validation for this podcast.
And if I could just say something, Sam, I think one of the things that impresses me so much about you, other than your innate musicality, is you're very articulate in terms of speaking about the music.
Brilliant. That was J. Riley Lewis. You'll hear a bit more about him and all kinds of the authority that he has about music and about the music of Bach in just a minute, and he'll be featured in a later episode. Now, if you haven't heard me say this 100 times already, if you want to learn more about the Goldberg Variations and about the music of Bach, I recorded this piece and included at the beginning an overview about the piece, much like these podcasts, but perhaps more comprehensive and more organized, a little more thought out, though these podcasts are well thought out too. Now, can I get a quote about the recording?
I remember before your earlier Goldberg performance, or your recording, I should say, mm-hmm. where you give a whole sort of journey through what these variations are, and it's very, very insightful.
Excellent. With that, on to today's episode.
Bach obviously wrote a lot of huge, great, monumental pieces. Where does this one fit in?
Oh, it's the Bible. You know, I mean, it really is.
Hello, and welcome to the Music Post. I'm Sam Post. That, again, was J. Riley Lewis. He is the founder and music director of the Washington Bach Consort, which has been bringing the music of Bach to the D.C. area for, well, since 1977. You do the math. And he is also the director of the Cathedral Choral Society. He was talking, of course, about the Goldberg Variations, about which I'm talking today. And he'll be again in an upcoming episode. The snippet you heard was from Variation 12, the first half, although I intentionally left part of it out. Let's put that part back in, take out another part, and hear that first half again. So this variation comes in three distinct voices. The first time you heard the bass voice, the bottom voice, with the uppermost voice, the soprano, and then the second time you heard the bass voice with the alto voice. And maybe you notice, but there's this similarity between the alto and the soprano voices. This is one of the many canon variations in the Goldberg Variations. And what that means is that two of the three voices, in this case, the two melodic voices, alto and soprano, have essentially the same music, only staggered in time and staggered in pitch. In this case, they're also inverse copies of each other, which means they're flipped upside down. So the melodic voice you heard the first time started here, but the second time it started a fourth lower and all the intervals flipped upside down. Pretty cool. Now, if you've heard me talk about Bach before, you know I think that it's these layers of self-reference that are one of the absolute keys to why Bach's music is so compelling. So the fact that these two voices are copies of each other is one very clear and obvious case of self-reference. What's also really important in this variation is the self-reference within each voice. So in particular, you'll hear all these sweeps up and down the keyboard, and also these syncopated entrances from each voice. That is, their phrases always start not directly on a beat, but directly after a beat. For instance, right at the beginning, you heard the soprano voice sweeping up. Then it takes a little break and comes back down. And of course, the alto voice does exactly the opposite, going down. And then a break, and then up. Let's hear now how they interact with each other without the bass voice. Now, in case you were wondering, the idea of writing music this way is completely absurd and so ridiculously difficult, I just can't even describe it. Now you've heard all the combinations of two voices at once, let's put it all together and hear the whole variation, all three voices. It's really great. I didn't even mention, but there's so much energy and drive in this variation, which is another contributing factor, of course, to how awesome it is. So I hope you enjoy. Let me tell you about another canon variation, Variation 6, which is very different both in character and in construction. In this case, the two canon voices are right on top of each other. It's called the canon at the second because the alto voice and the soprano voice are separated by just a single step, which is called the interval of a second. The alto starts here, and the soprano voice one measure later, and just a step higher. Instead of here, here. And you can hear in this case, the two canon voices, unlike in variation 12, are going the same direction. Again, notice the self-reference within each voice. A long sustained note, and then falling notes. Again. Similarly, the bass voice is also copying itself measure to measure. And then a new pattern. And so again, what's really interesting in all of Bach's music is how these patterns of reference are created and then when they're violated. Now, because these two canon voices are right on top of each other, kind of getting in each other's way, and because of the nature of the piano and the harpsichord, how the notes that you play start to decay right away, this note starts to fade. Now, when you play all the voices together, it's actually really hard to distinguish them and hear all three of them clearly, which is why for this variation, I really like the string trio arrangement, because you can hear all three voices really clearly on three different instruments, violin, viola, and cello. So let's listen to the first half now in that arrangement. Dmitry Sitkovetsky on violin, Misha Maisky on cello, and Gerard Saussé on viola in Dmitry Sitkovetsky's own transcription of this piece. And I hope you could hear all three voices, but especially those two canon voices, the violin and the viola, very clearly. And now try to transfer that over to when you hear me play it on the piano, because it won't be quite as clear, but I'll be doing my best. So what I do like to do, and what I actually did in my performance, which I'm a little surprised that the review didn't even mention, which is just to take the alto voice and take it up an octave on the repeat. So instead of the usual way with the alto here and then the soprano, I took the alto voice up here and then the soprano. Now this makes it a little bit easier to distinguish them both when you're playing and when you're listening, although it is much more difficult to play this way. I'll have to demonstrate it a little more slowly. And then especially toward the latter part of the first half when, in the standard way, the voices are crossing each other so that the alto voice actually goes above the soprano. This way, they don't cross. Let me show you. One more thing I want to mention about this variation. Because this interval, the second, is a naturally dissonant interval, every time the two canon voices come close to each other, get right on top of each other, we get these clashes. So right at the beginning, this way, these notes right next to each other clash, but then the alto voice moves away, and we get another clash here, and then the soprano voice moves down, and now even a harsher clash of a half step before the alto moves away. Another seventh clash. So each measure has this beautiful dissonance at the beginning that's beautiful but painful, that then resolves down. And now it's only variation 6 of the 30, but in this variation for the first time we also get these unusual harmonies. They come a little bit later, like here. And here. So especially this B flat, which quickly becomes a B natural. Kind of strange and unexpected at this point. So that's the gist with variation 6. Let's hear it all the way through now. Should I do the repeat with my octave change? Yeah, sure, why not? That's it for today. Thanks for listening. You can find all kinds of links at the website www.samueljpost.com/podcast. If you enjoy please rate or write a review in iTunes. That's always super helpful. Subscribe, share the love, and I hope to see you, find you. I hope you'll tune in next time and keep listening. You can always share your thoughts with me. My email is samueljpost@gmail.com. Again, thanks for listening. Until next time, from the Music Post.